The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
About the Bible, all right? And so the title of our message is, that's another sermon. I have more than one in my book here. I was scared myself. I said, what is that? I'm not preaching on that. There we go. The Word of God. Maybe that's a good sermon I should preach. I don't know. Maybe I changed my mind on that. But what is required by the Word of God? And I want to use as a text out of the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. Father, we believe in you, our trust is in you, that you will continue the work that you've been doing in this building so far today. Father, I pray that there will not be a person who leaves this building today without knowing you as their Lord and Savior. Father, let it be done. Let it be done. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. There's nothing magical about the Word of God. Magic, I guess, at its worst, is demonic. At its best, it's deceptive. But the Word of God is actually God speaking. I know we kind of miss that sometimes. We talk about the Word of God. It's what God says. When you speak about something and you say something and you give your opinion or some information about it, you could say it was the word of Pat or the word of Greg or the word of Freddie. It's what they said. So the scriptures is what God has said. It's a record of what God has said. Not all that he said, but it's a record of everything that we need that he said. The book of Genesis says that God spoke everything into existence. Now, follow me on this. What was in God came forth and became reality. What wasn't there before came forth out of, and God said, and light came, and earth came, and the stars came, and man came. It all came out of God. It was the Word of God becoming a reality. You get that? You see that? Now, it tells us in the book of Hebrews that at one time that God spoke through the prophets, but now he speaks through his Son. And we know from the book of John, it says that, and the Word became flesh. And there's that concept of game. The Word, God, what was in him, became flesh. And again, a reality that didn't exist before became a real reality, which we'll celebrate in a couple of weeks at the birth of Jesus. That Word that became flesh. Later on, we see that the Word of God was breathed into life. That's what Paul said. He said the Word was the Scripture, all Scripture is inspired by God or breathed life into it. And it's profitable for us. So once again, what God said became a new reality, and we carry it around with us today, and we call it the Bible. It's the Word of God. And most of your Bibles have that somewhere on the, usually on the cover. It says the Word of God, the Holy Word of God. So that God spoke, and creation came. The Word of God became Jesus Christ. And then God inspired men to write, and they wrote this thing, and that Paul, we just saw, Paul said, when you heard the word, you accepted it for what it actually was. Not the words of men, but the word of God. It is God speaking. That's why this book is so powerful. That's why Bobby can change lives, as you just told us about. That's why it can fall out of a plane. Somebody can pick it up. Some murderer can pick it up and read it. Somebody who's about to leave their family can pick it up and read it. It is power to change a life. It's not the words. It's not the letter. It's not the paper. It's not the ink. But it's the inspired power of God moving through that can transform your life. Now, I know that because I've read about it, but I really know about it because it happened to me. And many of you know that too. Somebody showed you the Word of God. They showed you, let me show you what the Bible says, what God says, and your life was transformed. God commissioned me to preach the Word of God. He didn't commission me to give my opinion. I have a lot of opinions. Just talk to me for a while. I got opinions about everything. You know, in my opinion, as I tell you so often, my opinion is worth what you pay for it, which is nothing. Opinion's not any good. It's just what I think things are. But the Word of God is not my opinion, and it's not your opinion, but it's the only opinion that counts. It's God's opinion. It's what He has to say about things. And so it's a very important book, and there are some requirements for us, all right? And I want to talk about that this morning, just briefly, three things. First of all, you're required to receive the Word of God. You're required to receive it. Let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 13 for a minute. This is I just quickly plucked something out of context for you, but it'll fit when I show you what I'm going to do. This is the story of the parable of the sower who sowed seed. And it says, those on the rock, or the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The only hope for you is to receive the word of God as salvation and let it take root within you and transform you. How many of you would like to have a really good life? Whatever your definition of a good life is, wouldn't you like to have a good life? I mean, I think everybody wants to have a good life. You know what I've discovered, and many of you have discovered? If you try to have a good life without the Word of God, what happens to you? You end up in a lot of trouble, don't you? Find out it doesn't work. You find yourself frustrated. You find yourself sitting on the side of the curve of life wondering, what just ran over me? You know, what went wrong? I was trying to do the best I knew how to do, but it didn't work. And the reason is, because the only thing that will really work in your life to transform you and give you the peace and the joy and the comfort and all those things that you really want and need in life come from the Scriptures, God Himself through the Scriptures, all right? So, the fertile ground is the growing of the Word of God within you, and you need to receive it. It said that the Thessalonians received the Word of God and that it changed them. They were transformed. Paul noted that. He wrote that down for us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that they were changed because of the Word. I see some of you kind of, are y'all cold? Okay, with somebody who knows how to work electronic gadgetry, lower that just a tad. Don't turn it off, just lower it. Because I'll get hot, all right? I don't want to get overheated. I don't want you to be God's frozen chosen, or, you know, anything like that. So I want you to be thawed out and warmed up as you hear this word, all right? Now, the Word of God was at work in them. See, follow me on this, all right? See if you can pick this up. The Word was in God, right? And God spoke, and it came out of Him, all right? And we see the creation, we look at it, we've all seen the mountaintops and the rivers and the stars, and we've all been amazed at the creation of God, all right? Then God created you, and you've looked in the mirror, you've been amazed at what you see, right? Yeah, you are an expression of the Word of God. Now, sometimes people don't think much of themselves. You ought to think a lot of yourself. You're an expression of the Word of God. It says you were created in God's image, all right? So there's something good about you when you look in the mirror and say, I'm not so bad looking after all. If you look with spiritual eyes, you look with the natural eyes, you might say, What's my grandpa doing in the mirror? You know, that's the way I'm getting to be lately, all right? But it's God's Word in you. And then when you receive the Word of God, when you receive it, it goes in you. And then you could take the Word of God and you could tattoo it across your whole body. You can become a walking Bible. You could have every verse of the Bible tattooed on you. Wouldn't do you a lick of good. What you need to do is get it inside of you. You receive it as truth and let God's Word do what God's Word alone can do inside of you. Now, here's one of the things that happens with the Word of God. People become educated in the Word of God. They get so smart. Greg's been to seminary. You've got some of the smartest guys you've ever met. They know a lot of stuff. But education is not revelation. There's a big difference. Let me explain it to you. You can be educated that planes fly. You can read all about it. You can learn all about aerodynamics. That's education. You know that if you get in that big thing, it'll fly. Revelation is getting in it and flying somewhere. Not just knowing it, but letting it do something. And it's the same way with the Word of God. You have to let it do something in you and through you. That's what Paul's really saying about receiving it. I thought about Judas and Peter. They both heard the Word. Obviously, Judas didn't get the revelation. Peter did get the revelation. And look at his life, how it was transformed and changed. So the Word of God can actually transform your life, and you need to receive it. You need to become a believer, not only just in God Himself and in salvation, but letting the Word of God change you and mold you. Some of you heard the Word, all right? You really have, but you've never let the Word of God change you. You're just like you used to be. You're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you were to, if a 747 falls on a building, you're going to glory, all right? But you've never let the Word of God really transform you and change you. To study it and learn it and let it be a part of you, an integral part of your life, so that you're different. You ought to be so different. You ought to be like that guy Bob spoke about who was murdering people and now he's giving away Bibles. We're talking about the Word. There ought to be a transformation. There ought to be an evidence of the Spirit of God that's swelling in you. And the only way that I know of for that to happen consistently is through letting the Word change you. Let it change you once. Let it change your desires. Let it change who you are. Stop being, don't use this phrase that we say all the time. Well, I'm just the way I am. Well, just the way you are isn't working, change it. If you're still hitting your thumb with a hammer every day, maybe you should learn to move your thumb out of the way so you don't hit it with a hammer. You're the only one who can do the inventory on your life, and you know whether or not things are working for you. If it's not working, try the Scriptures. I know that I told you this story a couple of weeks ago that Bagala spoke to on the phone, and she was really, resisting the Word of God. I was trying to lead her through the Lord. And I just asked her, I said, is what you're doing working for you? Do you have peace and joy and love and happiness? Do you have all those things in your life? And she said, well, no. So, well, why don't you try something different? Why don't you just try Christ and see if it'll work for you? So I think we need to come to that place. All right, number two. You receive it, but you also require it and you must accept it as true. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13 again. And we also thank God continually because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, and I underline this for you, but as it actually is the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. As it actually is, as it really is, there's been attempts from the creation, since the creation of the first word written on parchment or actually on stone, I guess, from Moses on, to dispute and disclaim this book. Nobody's been able to do it yet. It stood the test of time. There's some great books you can read about that. The Case for Christ is a great one by Lee Strobel's. Talks about the Word of God and how it's been preserved down through the ages. But it's the Word of God. But we tend to believe everything else. I want to show you just a short video that I found about this couple having breakfast, and it'll speak for itself.
Morning, Bob and I like to catch up on all the important news before we head off to work.
That's right. Keeping on top of the current events is really important for us superficials.
I was just reading that Brad and Angelina are having, well, you know, issues.
That sounds pretty serious.
No, it really is. I mean, they just adopted their 9th child.
But Linda, will you look here? This article says housing market soars, possible triple-digit inflation for all property values. I think now is the time, Linda. Let's place our house on the market now.
No. I wouldn't put the for sale sign on the lawn yet, Bob. I read here, housing market at all-time low. Experts predict housing market crash imminent. We are going to be here forever.
No. I like my version here a lot better. Mm-hmm. And you remember what Grandpa Superficial used to always say. If you don't like it, you just ignore it, and it'll go away. That's right.
I don't know, Bob. I mean, I'm just confused.
About what, Linda?
I mean, these newspapers, they don't just make stuff up, you know. I mean, remember a couple weeks back, I read in the Morning Planet, they broke that story, aliens invading the United States.
Linda, they weren't talking about illegal aliens.
Oh, they weren't?
No, the Morning Planet, they were talking about aliens from outer space.
Oh, well, at least they had the alien part right.
You know what, Linda? It is frustrating. I think these newspapers, they grab this one nugget of truth, and they spread it all out among this untruth.
Yeah, I mean, how do you tell which from which, though? And where do you go to find the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
So help me God. That's it, Linda. That's it.
What?
From now on, whenever we finish reading an article, we'll always finish by saying, "So help me God."
The superficials, yeah. How often do we do that? You know, the things that we read and, you know, we accept those as true instead of accepting the Word of God as true. Men said for many years that the world was flat. And most of us have discovered that it's not flat. I say most of us because some of you may still be in the Flat Earth Society. I don't know. But most people have figured out that it's not flat. What God says is absolutely true. It's true yesterday. It's true today. And it's true forever. But we tend to not believe the Word of God. I heard Jerry Falwell say something just recently on TV. And boy, what a poignant statement this is. He said, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Isn't that a great statement? What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Well, you know, the Word of God is true. And if we'll just start believing the Word of God, we might discover there's a lot more we can do because we believe what the Word of God says. You know, we prayed for folks here this morning. And I wanted to pray in faith, believing that God could do it. If you were praying and saying, well, it was just a little thing we're going through, nothing's going to happen. But we pray in faith, believing what God can do. Now, most of you have been to school. Yeah, Victoria hadn't been there yet. She's at school of hard knocks right now. But most of you have been to school, and you learn things. You know, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Everybody has learned this little axiom. 2 + 2 = 4. Two plus two equals... Oh, yeah, you got that right. When is 2 + 2 not equal 4? What if you don't like it? What if you don't think that's true? Maybe you should decide tomorrow that 2 plus 2 is equal to 5 or 7 or 12 or 1. I mean, can you make that decision? Oh, you can. Oh, sure, you can make the decision. Some of the guys who made that decision helped build my new house. They didn't know how to use that tape measure and figure that baby out, you know. We got stuff. They said, why did they do that? We got 4 inches more than we need because they didn't know what 12 feet was. They found out, they thought 12 foot was 12 foot 4 inches. And you think, well, that doesn't mean anything except when you hang a sheetrock that's 12 foot in size. It means a lot. It means money to me. Somebody didn't believe it. Mathematics is a science that you can't change. You may not like it. It may make you mad in the wet hand. And especially if you're a kid and you're taking a test and you say, you know, you said 2 plus 2 is 4 and you get to school and you forget and you think it's 5 and they give you an F on that grade. You can't change it. It's an absolute that cannot be changed. You can't pick and choose what part of mathematics is right and what part's wrong. You can say, oh, well, all right, Pastor, you're right. There's no argument about it. 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. But 4 plus 4 is equal to 7. You can't pick one part and not another part. And you know, we do that so often with the Word of God. We pick the parts we like and we throw the other parts away. Oh, well, that couldn't be true. That couldn't be true at all. I read a story one time about a man by the name of Dawson Trotman, a guy who founded the Navigators, and he had led a man to the Lord, and he ran into the same guy several years later, and he didn't recognize him, and he started to lead this guy to the Lord again because it was obvious that he didn't know the Lord. The guy said he didn't know the Lord. And then he realized, he said, don't I know you? And he said, yeah, you picked me up. The guy used to pick people up and try to lead them to the Lord. And he said, he said, you told me about this Jesus thing 2 years ago. And Dawson says, there wasn't a change in the world in this guy. I mean, he was exactly like he was 2 years ago. So he went to his office, and his staff said he came in, got his Bible out, said, somebody give me a razor blade. They said, well, so they gave him a razor blade. He flipped open to a page and started to cut it out. And they said, what do you notice? I'm taking this verse out of the Bible. It's not true. He said, what do you mean it's not true? It says that he who began a good work will continue, you know, until that day. It will continue. They said, it's not true. It doesn't work. He said, I'll just cut it out because it's not working. Well, he God through the Holy Spirit convinced him that he was wrong about that. And he started the program of not just winning people to the Lord, but discipling people in the Lord. And today it's all over the world, that organization, the Navigators. So just because something doesn't work for us the first time doesn't mean it's not true. You know, I picked the subject that I love to talk about is mathematics. I'm a guy who's had lots of education in mathematics. I've taken integral and differential calculus in school. I've done all that stuff. All I know is 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. I don't understand the rest of it. I have no clue what that is, but they made me go through all of that, you know. But I didn't understand it, and I've never applied it anywhere. But, you know, just because I didn't understand it didn't mean it was true. It wasn't true. And I would take these tests, and for some reason, these college professors, since we got one in the house, they're so rude, they would say it was wrong. Say, well, you can't do that. That's not following the rules. You can't do that. You follow the rules, you get the right answer. I'd get an answer that looked right to me. It just wasn't right. But apply that to the Scriptures. Don't we do the same thing? We say, well, yeah, but, you know, that doesn't mean, that's not for today. People read about the Holy Spirit. We're a Pentecostal church, and they read about the Holy Spirit. Well, yeah, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's speaking in tongues. That doesn't exist anymore. What made you the guru of all things about the Bible? That you would say that. When the Scripture says, Paul says, forbid not to speak it in tongues. He said, don't do that. You know, that they're still here. Just pick any subject that you don't agree with. You say, well, I just don't agree with that. 2 plus 2 is 5. That's what you just said. Now, you might say, I don't understand that. That's a valid response. There are lots of certain things that I don't understand. That doesn't mean they're not true. It just means that I don't understand them yet. At the proper time, the Holy Spirit will give you a revelation. You must believe the scriptures that are true. For instance, the scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. True or false? True. Yeah, that's pretty easy, huh? How's about God answers prayer? True or false? But that's not really true, because God answers prayer sometimes. Yes, that's it.
Or later.
Or maybe he's just not answering you right at the moment. But he always answers prayer. God heals the sick, true or false? Yeah, well, wait a minute, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. And we start putting all these little conditional statements around it. The Word of God is true. And what's wrong, is that when you go to school, they make you memorize that stuff and they pound it into you and pound it into you and pound it into you. And you send you to school from the time you're 5 years old to, in my case, 35 years old. Learning and learning and learning, so that when anybody comes up to you and says, 2 + 2 = 5, you say, that guy's off his rocker, he's smoking dope, something wrong with him. Everybody knows 2 + 2 = 3. No, I mean, 2 + 2 = 4. I mean, you get the point. You know it. You understand about arithmetic and mathematics and algebra and whatever level you went to, because you studied it and you spent time in it and you were schooled in it, so that you could do it and you could go out with high mathematics and you could build an airplane, you can build a bridge, you can do all kinds of wonderful things because you understand the concepts of mathematics that have been pounded into you from the time you were a little kid. What we've done is we've not pounded the Word of God into ourselves. We're just still on flashcards. We haven't got to beyond that. And that's why we say the Word of God doesn't work. It's not true. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. It's wrong with us applying the Word of God in our lives, accepting it as true, and believing it as true, and using it in our daily lives. Thank you for those amens. That's the truth. That's the absolute truth. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. It's what's wrong with us. And we need to change that. We need to be, Jesus said that we were to be disciples, one taught. Taught of the Word of God. And while I'm on my little illustration here, you know what you probably discovered in school? That you had to go home and study by yourself, didn't you? Or you had to get somebody with you, and you had to practice, and you had to go through all the things of schooling that you go through in order to learn properly. That you can't get enough of it in the classroom to do you any good. Well, if you're going to plan on living on the amount of scriptures that you get listening to me preach, you're going to be a skinny person spiritually. You got to get it for yourself. You got to be inspired to say, well, let me go study that out. Let me see if that preacher's right on that. And go learn for yourself. You got to have your prayer time with God, studying the Word of God, and receiving it as true. That's what you need. You need the Word of God in you, doing what only the Word of God could do. See, we trust mathematics because we believe it and we do it. I was going to get Mike Walker. I've decided not to use it as a little illustration. I was going to bring some wood and a tape measure and see if I can get him to build something. He actually built something this week for the kids, for the little manger set we've got, just to prove my point. But it's not enough to know it. You got to do it. And the Word of God has to be done. It's something that you do. I know... I'm guilty of telling you that we're believing in salvation by grace and God does everything and it's all about Him. And all of that is true. But there comes a time where you have to take what's true and use it. Jesus said, go into the whole world. He didn't say, stay where you are. Amen. You got to be moving. Even Jesus grew. We were praying earlier for the little girl that Jesus grew in stature. I mean, he got from a little kid to be a big guy, all right? And in favor with God and with men. It was a growing process. There's a growing process in the kingdom of God. Hopefully we're not just what we were when we get saved. That there's a growing and a learning process that takes place. That's receiving the Word of God is true. Finally, you're required to proclaim the word. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:27. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter. This is the end of the book of 1 Thessalonians. To have this letter, the King James Version says epistle, read before all the brothers. And I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read before all the brothers. You know, you might have trouble understanding or misunderstanding some things in the Scripture, but this is one of those things where you can't misunderstand it. And that is the requirement that we read, proclaim, and bring this message of the God to the world. That's what we are required to do. The only hope against the ACLU or Islam or poverty throughout the world or for your own families is the Word of God. It's the only thing that I know that works. If you know something else that works better, would you please tell me about it? Because I don't know. And I've tried so many other things, and I've seen other people try so many other things. But the Word of God is true all the time. You know, we're starting this class for married couples and for people to learn who are having marital problems, and Mike's going to be working with that. You know why we're doing that? Because in conversations I've had with Mike and with other people, marriages are in trouble. People can't get along, believers and unbelievers. So we're going to try to do something about it, provide an environment where you can hear the Word of God and not only hear it, but do it. It's important that we understand it's the only thing that will work. You proclaim the Word of God by teaching it to your family. All you parents, don't you be dependent on this church to teach your kids. You better teach those kids yourself. It's your responsibility. We're here to help you. We are an extension of what you do. But we're not the doer, and you're an extension of us. It's your responsibility. I love to pick on the Trombones for a minute. I love to see their little children around here reciting scripture. Man, I love it. I think it's so cool. You know, little kids know how to say, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Some of you couldn't repeat that if I asked you to. You know? Teaching your children at home. Letting them learn it's your responsibility. You proclaim the Word of God by teaching in the local church. Whether you're a pastor or a children's church teacher, you know, proclaiming it, being a part of it, making it happen. You're telling other people about the Word of God. You proclaim it by becoming a missionary. Go on mission trips. I know that Brother Wayne Pontier is planning on a trip to Haiti. Some of you are thinking about going. Maybe some more of you need to think about going with him. You know, on that trip. Going somewhere and proclaiming the Word of God, either full-time or part-time. Enabling others to do it. You're proclaiming it by enabling others. The basket's in the back. It's got love offering on it. Anything that goes in a basket's going to the Gideons today. Anything that goes in a box goes to the local church. But we're giving to the work of the Gideons. You know why? He doesn't get a dime for being here. Not from us. He gets a lot, but not from us. He gets it from the Holy Spirit, God's economy of scale. When the money that you give to the Gideons goes to the Gideons. What percentage comes out of the gift that goes to the Gideons International? I don't think any of it does, huh?
Well, 100%, I think 60% goes out of the outside of the area.
Yeah. Yeah, so a portion of it stays in the area and the rest of it goes in the land. But nobody gets paid out of that.
Oh, no, not us.
No, nobody's getting any money. You know, a lot of times you give your money to charitable organizations, most of the money never gets where you want it to go. This is going in the right place. That's why I'm supporting it. I support the Gideons. I'd encourage you to do that. You know, one of the things we've learned to do around here, you know, and I hope this doesn't offend you, but if some family of yours, members of yours dies, we're not giving you any flowers anymore. We didn't give you flowers. We're going to put money into the Gideons in memory of your loved one so that that'll go on. Those flowers will just disappear in a couple of days, but this will go on. I'd encourage you to do that. It's a good thing to do. But giving to the work of the ministry is a help. And whether it's the Gideons or missions that we collect for each week or just your own tithes and offerings. In the next coming weeks, actually probably more in January, we're going to be doing some challenging things around here. I'll be talking to you about the church and where we are and where we're going and We're going to be doing some restructuring in some areas. It'll be good. It'll help us to grow. But I want to share with you just a bit of a vision. I've shared before, but I want to share it with you again. One of the visions that I believe for New Beginnings Church, for me, and it's in my spirit, and I pour it out to this church, the things that we could do. I believe and long for and dream of a day where we'll send ministers to Bible schools and to seminaries, and we'll pay the whole bill. I'd love to do that. I would be the happiest guy on the planet to be able to do that. We're able to help. If you want to go to Bible school, by the way, and we'll help you with that. We'll give you as much as we can right now. We do that on a monthly basis. We've done it for Greg. We've done it for other people who have gone to Bible school. But I'd like to one day somebody say, you know, Pastor, I think God's calling me to go to seminary or go to Bible school or whatever. And we'll say, how much money you need? And write out the check. I'd love to be able to do that. That would be awesome to be able to do that. I believe that one day someone will come and say, I believe God's calling me to be a missionary to go somewhere, where some part of the world. And we say, how much money do you need to get there? What do you need to stay on the field? And we'll write them out a check. He said, oh, that's impossible. There's a church down in Florida that my daughter used to go to that does that. They have their own missions board. When somebody from their church wants to go on a mission field, they pay for the whole thing. That's awesome. But I look forward to a day where we could do that kind of thing. Maybe we can't do it all right now, but we could do some. We do some now. You see our little Hall of Fame back on the back wall. Those are people that we support every month with our tithes and offerings to keep people in the missionary field. I look forward to a day when we'll send pastors out of this place to start churches and start missions. You want to start a church? Let me know. I'll help you. I'll do the best I can. I'd like to have 10,000 people where I could give you 4,000 to go start with. Wouldn't that be nice? Nice way to start a church. But I'd be a happy guy to do that. I don't want to have a place where somebody says, well, I want to go start a church, and then I get all mad at them and don't want them to do it. No, I want to help you do it. I look forward to that day of helping people do that. I look forward to us sending people out with the Word of God. I look forward to that. The Word of God is so important that we need to get the message out until such time as the Lord returns. I believe that we can do that. So, what is required of us, I guess, in wrapping this up? It's required that we receive the Word of God, that we accept it as true, and that we proclaim it wherever we go. Sound like a plan? Let's all stand. Father, we thank you for your Word. It is just it's just what we needed. You certainly knew what you were doing when you called it the Word of God. And you gave it to us. You've entrusted us with this precious, precious Word. Help us to be good stewards, Lord, to proclaim the good news wherever we go, from our family to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Before you dismiss, one little other piece of business. This is December, and so we always have a birthday cake for the birthday babies. How many of you are December babies? Let me see those hands come up. Whoa! 1, 2, 3. Anybody else? Any other December? Back there? All right. So we've got December babies. So we're going to sing December Baby Happy Birthday, all right? So, Jim, are you going to lead us in Happy Birthday?
Sure. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. There's coffee and cake, and make yourself at home.